armchair, you can feel his disease. Come together right now.
Oh. Welcome back. Rational Revolution here. I'm Mark Becker. We've got my brother John as a co-host. And we've got John Shelton, who's a professor and chair of democracy and justice studies at UWGB. Vice President for Higher Education of the American Federation of Teachers here, an all-around good guy. We were talking at the other end of the break about Donald Trump not being a stupid person in all respects, but I kind of say what he does is like Phil Spector's wall of sound. Everything just hits you. Some things stick and some goes right past, but that's kind of what you were alluding to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, there's like a feedback loop, right? I mean, because if you don't have any morals and you're just, and Trump does not have any morals,
no.
right? I mean, like you just throw everything out there and you'll literally say anything that you think will get you votes. Then you do that. And the stuff that sticks, you just repeat those again, right? I mean, so in that way, he's kind of like a, you know, he's like a savant. I mean, I actually think that the bigger issue for the Republican Party is what happens after you don't have anybody with his singular level of just amorality. I mean, you know.
And shamelessness.
I mean, who's the dude from Florida?
Rubio?
DeSantis.
Yes.
I mean, DeSantis tried to do that and tried to out Trump. And it was just like, nope, like you're a copy of this. Like, and people didn't buy it. And he fell flat on his face. J.D. Vance tried it to a certain extent. I mean, like, so you know, these people, they can't actually do it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, ostensibly, Trump's not going to be around forever. So what does that look like when he's not?
Yeah, I say that here all the time about I worry about that because you're not going to have someone who is a bumbling idiot. But, you know, you're going to have someone who is very strategic about that. And, you know, they'll shoot with a sniper instead of a shotgun and that wall of sound. And so they'll be able to have they'll listen to the experts that say, hey, don't do that. Do it this way. And it will be refined and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm nervous too about how, you know, over these next 4 years, Donald Trump made a lot of mistakes, you know, in his first administration, he says, well, I'm going to have the best and the brightest. And I mean, you know, love him or hate him, you know, Rex Tillerson is an incredibly successful person. You know, Mattis is a very smart guy, but they turned on him. So now he's not going to have people in his administration that are, big thinkers and all that. He's going to have people that will shake their head up and down and do whatever he wants.
And sabotage federal agencies in the process.
Right. It's not. And so, you know, what damage can be done over the next 4 years? And hopefully, you know, we get some good people here and it's really only 2 years worth of damage and we can stop him. But what is he going to do in the meantime?
Oh, no question. I mean, don't take anything that I have said say that, you know, we don't face significant drastic things happening in the next couple of years, right? I mean, like we are facing that down. It's Project 2025, right? I mean, like whatever Trump said to disavow that, I mean, that will be the playbook. I mean, he listened to the Heritage Foundation in packing the Supreme Court. You know, I mean, there are going to be a lot of things that are going to be on the chopping block in the federal administration. I mean, I don't think he'll actually be able to, like, say, eliminate the Department of Education.
Right.
But there's a lot that you can do to, you know, completely weaken the things that the Department of Education does, for example. Right. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, this I think will be, if you want to think of it this way, a more effective version of Trumpism for sure.
Right.
I also think, you know, we're more organized this time around on our side.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully this is a wake-up call and, you know, we all think about exactly what to run on in 2 years because the Republicans are not going to actually deliver anything for working.
No.
They will not. That's the one thing I can tell you that won't happen.
No.
And so we
But they're going to pretend like they did.
Yeah, but did that work for them in 2020?
No.
I mean, again, like, look at the last, like, 10 years of elections and what's happened. People are saying we are going to vote for whoever's not in power in order to get something to change. We want things to change. That's what people are saying. And so, like, when you, I've heard some pretty, I can say ass, right? Some half-assed critiques. I was trying to remember what swears I can say. Some half-assed critiques of like what happened in this election. It's like, well, gas prices were too high, or price of eggs, right? You noted. And that stuff that's true, but it's more that, you know, when you look at what's happened to workers in this country, and that's not just now workers without college degrees, because now you have people with college degrees. A lot of my students, they come out with, you know, $10,000-$20,000 worth of debt, and they're working as a barista in Starbucks, which great. Yeah. Work as a barista in Starbucks, organize your union there, right? I mean, like, right. that's great. But the problem is that for half of this country, we're living paycheck to paycheck. And workers' wages, when you adjust for inflation adjust for productivity, have declined since the 1970s.
Yeah.
The only reason that workers' standards of living have kept anywhere close to where they were like 50 years ago is because A, you have more two-parent working families, and B, because of credit, right? Everybody mm-hmm. is deeply indentured to all this, you know, consumer credit in this country.
I hate any critique of this election other than Kamala Harris had an impossible task of 104 days to do anything. You know what I mean? And there's so much backstory with, you know, Joe Biden and should he or shouldn't he?
He didn't do us any favors.
He didn't.
Correct.
And Kamala Harris, I do believe, was the right candidate at the right time. She didn't have any time to make that case.
I think that's right. And the other thing that was a problem is, and by the way, like, I think Biden was probably the best president we've had since at least the 1960s. I mean, he's moving.
History will be very kind to him.
He was definitely
as
moving.
As long as we write it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. He's definitely moving away from some of the neoliberal policies that Democrats have been pushing for around free trade and busting unions and all these kinds of things. It just wasn't fast enough, and they did not take nearly enough credit for it. And then I felt like Harris was kind of confused about, do I stand on some of these things? Do I not stand on them? How do I differentiate myself?
And there's no time to like pull things and do communications and see, okay, well, maybe we shouldn't say it this way. They had no time to do any of that.
And I think primaries are really good for the party in presidential elections so that we can have some of these conversations and, you know, as a party, and let the candidates see what they want to actually run on and what's going to resonate with people. And Biden deprived us of that. I mean, I think he was a great president in many ways, but I would have much preferred to have an open primary where people could have made their case.
Yeah. This is a big question for a minute left in the segment, but like, how do you can't say the same thing in Northeast Wisconsin than you do in Massachusetts or DC or all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, while the $15 an hour minimum wage is a good thing, but you look at what Rebecca Cook did in the sixth of, you know, the western part of the state, and she ran on, hey, we need to have solid and strong borders. We need to not spend more than we have, but no one should tell me what I should do with my own body. And gay people should be able to get married without being, you know what I mean? So how do you be that purple blue and still be able to be progressive enough to keep this vision of yours?
I got like 30 seconds to answer.
You did. But that we can tee this up. But this will be our teaser here.
Yeah.
Because I think that is such a huge question that needs to be answered, and that's something that I've, you know, in my time in the Republican Party, they tried to do this when Mitt Romney was running, and I tried to say everything that I could is, we can't do that. We cannot take this vision and blanket it all across the country, because that's the beautiful thing about this country. We are so diverse in our opinions and all of that. And we're going to pick up that answer on the other end of the break here.
Right.
Rational
on.
Revolution. We'll be back.